Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be. Welcome back to the Ever Be podcast and happy Ash Wednesday. I don't know about you, but I always find it kind of weird saying happy Ash Wednesday because Lent doesn't really feel like a happy time necessarily, but whatever, you get it. It's Ash Wednesday. I went to Mass today. I've got ashes on my forehead and I'm ready to dive in. But first, let's jump into our Everbee moments of the day. So my Everbee moment today is going to be the Pierced playlist that I created to pair with the Pierced devotional. You can find it on West Coast Catholic's Spotify account, and we can link that in the show notes as well. My Everbee moment is specifically this one song, Precious Jesus by Damascus Worship. I have been listening to this on repeat in my prayer, and it's so Lenty because it's just like deep and soulful. And it just like, I feel like portrays the deep spiritual need that we have for God. So go listen to Precious Jesus by Damascus Worship. It is so, so beautiful. And I recommend that you just play it, close your eyes, and just see what comes to mind. Use your imagination, engage in some Ignatian meditation, and just meet the Lord, precious, precious Jesus, in your heart, and just see what he has for you. I just feel like sometimes praying with a worship song so intentionally and giving it the space without journaling or even just singing it, but just like being quiet and taking in all the words and the prayer within the song is so beautiful. So that's my Everbee moment for the day, and I encourage you to do the same thing. Truth be told, I had to give myself a little bit of a pump-up talk yesterday and today leading into Lent because I was just kind of dreading it and feeling off about Lent. I feel like we've just had a couple months, tiring start to the year. It's been kind of a grind. And so I think I was just tired and I was just like not looking forward to suffering, fasting, discomfort, all the things, right? And I think I just had to reframe how I was approaching and viewing Lent. And I think I kind of had a moment of realization where I was like, oh, I think actually like I'm having a distorted view of Lent. And I think the evil one is trying to use fear to distort what Lent is actually supposed to be about even more. And so like, I don't need to be dreading going into Lent, thinking it's just going to be this like really hard thing that's going to suck, right? Like, of course, there's fasting and there's uncomfortability and there are like moments of sacrifice and death to self that come with Lent because we are quite literally just denying ourselves and our will and our flesh in different ways, depending on what we're fasting from. But the primary purpose of Lent isn't just to do something hard for the sake of doing something hard. It's not even just because suffering brings, you know, there's like goodness in suffering. And as Catholics, we're called to suffer. It's not even just that. Like, the primary purpose of Lent is to unify us with Jesus and deepen our relationship with Jesus. So, in case anybody else needed that reminder, that's what I needed to hear. And once that clicked in my brain, it was like a glimmer of like actual like anticipation and excitement towards Lent. Like, okay, we're not viewing it as 40 days that are going to suck. We're viewing it as 40 days of intentional, purposeful living to unify me and deepen my relationship with Jesus. And that's exciting. That is exciting because I think that like a lot of the times we can view Lent as a Catholic New Year. I shared this kind of like hot take that I have on my Instagram earlier this week. And I got one person saying like, I've never heard anybody say anything like this. Like, that's not what Catholics think. But I was like, okay, whatever. I've seen people treat it this way. There's definitely been times where I've treated it this way. I don't think it's crazy of me to say that sometimes we can fall into thinking that Lent is like the Catholic New Year, like another round two to just like do something hard or diet for the sake of losing weight or whatever, like basically choosing a fast based off of like a good habit that like we kind of should already be having, or like taking advantage of Lent as a time to add on a habit that you just kind of want to have for your life. Does that make sense? And that's the other part of my hot take, is that I hear people sometimes talk about how they're not going to fast from something this Lent. They're actually just going to add something on. And I think that there's great intent behind that. I don't want that to come off like judgmental or anything. I think there's truly great intent in adding something good, something positive to your life during Lent. However, if we're just adding a good habit, we are missing part of what Lent is about. Lent is about fasting, prayer, and almsgiving. Those are the three pillars of Lent that are clearly outlined for us to help give us that roadmap and that structure to live this liturgical season well. So by choosing not to fast and just add something on, we're actually not embracing Lent the way that we're invited to. So what I always say is, definitely fast from something. And then yes, you should be adding prayer to your life. You should be adding prayerful habits into your life to do exactly what we just talked about, to strengthen your relationship with God and to unify yourself to God, especially in those moments of uncomfortability. I keep saying uncomfortability. Is that even a word? Discomfort is what I'm trying to say. In those moments of discomfort, you can turn to prayer instead of whatever it is that you're fasting from, right? Like I have found that a comfort for me is sweets. That is part of what I'm giving up for Lent. And anytime that I'm like stressed or kind of sad or just kind of like off or just kind of like need a little pick me up, I'm like, ooh, grab a little piece of chocolate, or like, ooh, gonna have a little piece of pumpkin bread or whatever it is, you know, ooh, gonna make myself like a sweet latte drink for the afternoon and add a bunch of syrup to it or whatever it is. Sweets like gives you that little dopamine hit. At least it does for me, but I know I'm not the only one. So now in giving that up, in those moments where you feel that like craving of like, ooh, I kind of want some chocolate, like, ooh, I kind of want something sweet, and we choose to deny ourselves and we go, nope, I'm going to, instead of leaning into sweets, I'm going to feel that discomfort, I'm going to turn to the Lord, right? And in that moment, use prayer to unify me to Jesus. So I hope that just gives you some, I don't know, clarity, tips, advice, whatever. If you're going into Lent and you're kind of like, I don't really know how to approach Lent, or I'm not really feeling like super pumped about it, hopefully that speaks into your experience a little bit. The other thing is, if you still feel like you're unsure about what to fast from for Lent and you want a little bit of advice, some rules I kind of live by during Lent, I try to pick some sort of food to fast from, because I think fasting from food is a very physical experience. It directly denies our physical cravings and physical longings, and instead makes your soul stronger than your body. You know what I mean? So I try to pick some food thing, and then you don't have to have multiple fasts, right? But I try and pick a food thing and then kind of like a habit thing. So I look at my life, like, you know, this past couple weeks, I've been looking at my life and I've been thinking, what kind of habit is pulling me away from God or getting in the way of a Christ-centered life? And so I think this is where people can tie in, like where it's like a good way to tie in adding a new habit to your life or removing a bad habit, right? If we have the intention of unifying it with Christ and not just doing it because, you know, we wanted to lose weight and so that's why we're going to give up snacking or something like that. I don't know. You have to just know your intention when it comes to fasting, right? So I'm doing something food related to deny the flesh, and then looking at my life and seeing, okay, what are habits that I feel like are getting in the way of my relationship with God? And so for me, I just noticed that phone time is what is inhibiting that relationship with the Lord sometimes. So I'm going to try and fast from my phone from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. No, sorry. Not from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Not use it before 9 a.m. and after 9 p.m. And so that way, I can then add more prayer into my life, right? This is where we're adding prayer now and make sure that the first and the last moments of my days are given to the Lord, and there's prayer covering my morning and my evening. If you're like, yes, I need to add prayer, I don't know what to add, let's talk about a couple options that you have. Our West Coast Catholic Lent devotional is already sold out. So if you grabbed that one, great. You can walk through Pierced. If not, there are other resources that are digital that you can grab at any moment to walk with you during Lent. So I have the 30-day scripture challenge called the Gospel Habit, which helps you pray with Lectio Divina every single day. And I have a special method of approaching Lectio Divina and prayer journaling alongside it that helps you really digest scripture and apply it to your life. So I'll make sure to link that in the show notes as well. And then you have the Ascension Crux Action Plan. They're going really practical this year. So they're tying in an exercise component and a prayer component and just different habits to help us live really purposeful lives this Lent. Then you have the Lent Pray 40 Challenge, where they're going through a book about the prodigal son. I can't pronounce the name of the book because it's like Russian and I don't know how to say it, but I'll make sure to link the Ascension Plan and the Hallow Prayer Challenge also in the show notes. The Hallow one is called, oh yeah, I can't pronounce it, but it's about the prodigal son and coming back to the Lord and how you are never too far gone for the Lord to welcome you back to him. So if that resonates with you specifically, that would be a great challenge. I'm also going to be going through the Daily Grace Co.'s Lent devotional. I have never done any of the Daily Grace Co. prayer tools, but I'm excited to kind of vet them and kind of try it out. Are you trying to decide what to give up for Lent? Let this be your sign to join the Crux Lenten Challenge in the Ascension app. From Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday, Father Columba Jordan will guide you through four simple daily challenges in scripture, prayer, exercise, and fasting. But don't worry, the Crux isn't literally just about starving yourself or lifting huge weights. It's actually just about encountering your weakness and the God who meets you there, while Father Columba helps you learn how to surrender your life more fully to him. To join, just download the Ascension app and get the free Crux Action Plan at ascensionpress.com/crux. If you love meaningful conversations that'll help you live your faith boldly in the real world, you need to check out Ave Explores. Hosted by Katie McGrady, this podcast dives deep into the Catholic faith in a way that's fresh, practical, and actually applicable in your everyday life. This Lent, they're walking the road to Calvary alongside voices like Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, Father Gregory Pine, Laura Kelly Finucci, and Allie Hoffman, exploring the story of the Passion like never before. It's reflective, rich, and deeply personal. If you're looking for a podcast that nourishes your faith, add Ave Explores to your playlist today. And see how I like it. I can't tell if they're Catholic or Christian or what, because they use some Catholic language, but I don't think it's actually fully Catholic. I read somewhere it was like kind of ecumenical. So I'm going to kind of go through that and see how I like praying with that this Lent. And then I'm also probably going to be adding in either some of those Ascension videos or on the Hallow app. I've been doing the Jeff Cavins and Jonathan Rumi daily gospel reflections. So for that evening prayer time, I'm going to be doing one of those resources, something a little bit more purposeful, a little bit more Lent focused to finish out my prayer for the day. So those are some ideas for prayer. I'll have them all linked in the show notes. And then ideas for almsgiving. We haven't touched on almsgiving yet. I think when we think of almsgiving, we always think of tithing and monetary donations, and that's beautiful and good. And if you feel like that's where the Lord is calling you, and maybe it's a bit of a challenge and it's a stretch, that's good. Absolutely do that. We can also give alms with our time and our talents. So maybe it looks like taking up some sort of volunteer project or volunteer shifts for so many different things that you can volunteer for in your community. It doesn't have to be like a soup kitchen or a homeless shelter. I feel like that's kind of where my mind always goes to. And if that's where you feel called, that's amazing. That's great. But there are other ways to give alms in our time as well, or other ways to serve our community and give of ourselves. You can bring friends and family dinners every week. You can offer to help babysit for friends and family that have small children that maybe haven't been able to go out on a date or spend time in their marriage. You can inquire how you can support your local pregnancy resource center to see if there's any sort of volunteer work that they offer there. Just look around your community and ask yourself, where can I give of myself? Where can I serve? Where can I give a little bit more time? And maybe it is monetary. Where can you stretch your tithing a little bit and give a donation that's financial? I think the biggest takeaway that we can take and go into Lent with is that Lent is actually an opportunity for intensified conversion. That's straight from the catechism. I was looking up some catechism quotes before recording just to see what does the catechism have to say about Lent. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I don't pick up the catechism enough. And every time I do, I'm just shocked by the wisdom and the beauty of the words that are in there. So catechism paragraph 1438 states, the seasons and the days of penance in the course of the liturgical year, Lent and each Friday in the memory of death of the Lord, are intense moments of the church's penitential practice. And then paragraph 1430, right before that, right? Jesus's call to conversion and penance, it doesn't aim first at outward works, but at the conversion of the heart. So it's about interior conversion. The catechism is so clear. Like, Lent is not about outward works, but about the conversion of our heart. Because if Lent is just behavior change without interior change, without heart change, we've essentially missed the point of Lent, which is basically how I started this whole conversation in the first place. So it's really bringing us back around to that theme. And I think that just ties in so well into just kind of an eternal view of our life and our purpose here on earth is to know, love, and serve God. And our primary goal should be getting to heaven. And part of what we remember on Ash Wednesday, as they're putting ashes on our forehead, they're saying, remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return. And that's a reminder of our mortality, of our death, that like we all eventually are going to die and our body will just be reduced to basically ashes, like just dust. And then our soul will live forever with the Lord in heaven, we hope, right? But how we live on earth determines how we live for the rest of our lives. So these 40 days are a preparation for Easter, for the resurrection, when the gates of heaven were finally opened. So in a way, we can view that as like, that is what we're working towards in our entire life. And Lent is just a really purposeful, kind of intensified liturgical season to lock us in, basically, like to lock us in on like, what are we called to do here on earth? What is our primary focus on earth? And just a recentering and a re-sparking of our relationship with Christ in a re-intensified conversion moment. So let that fuel you this Lent. Go into Lent just hungering for the Lord and turning to Him in those moments of discomfort and in those moments of hunger during our periods of fasting. And I'm going to be praying for all of you, praying that your faith is strengthened, praying that you feel close to the Lord, and that we can all just kind of grow in a holy detachment from the things that are tying us down to this world, whether that's food or music and podcasts or online shopping or material things or habits that we have that are pulling us away from the Lord. I just pray that we can all be detached from those and just desire God and desire heaven more than ever in preparation for Easter. And just a little note on Sundays, because I think a lot of people don't know or don't have clarity on it. Sundays are just in general like mini resurrection days. They're like mini Easters almost, where we celebrate the Lord's resurrection. And so you technically aren't required to fast on Sundays throughout Lent. You can make a personal decision of what you want to do. If you want to continue your fast, or if you really just want to like honor that day as a little resurrection as it usually is, and you can break your fast. But if you choose to break your fast, don't completely just like indulge back in your fast to almost just like make up for the whole week that you just fasted, right? So if you're fasting from chocolate or sweets, don't just have like a ton of sweets on Sunday because you're just dying for them and like making up for all the sweets you fasted from throughout the week. So just do it with prudence and intention. Again, it's all about intention and purpose. So hope this was helpful for you this Lent, praying for you all, and let's just get after it. Let's just have an incredible Lent. Let's grow closer to Christ, and especially all you that are walking with the Pierce devotional, I'm so excited to hear how it is for you. Please send me or West Coast Catholic a DM with your experience. I cannot wait to hear how it shapes your prayer life and how it helps you walk with the Lord this Lent. And before we wrap up, let's get into Everbee Answers. Today, we're going to be answering any updates on the annual membership for the Kingdom Club. I'd love to represent with a Kingdom Club hat. And how can we discern the difference between spiritual attack and God's will when facing a major decision like a move or a career change? Sometimes fear, hesitation, or resistance shows up at the same time we are praying for clarity. How do we tell that discomfort is God gently redirecting us, the fruit of healing and growth, or spiritual resistance meant to keep us stuck? And then lastly, what advice would you give for starting your own Bible study group? It's been on my heart for a very long time to start a small Bible study group with other girls from my church. I love to host often, and I feel like this would be a wonderful opportunity to host others and be welcoming and grow into faith and community. I've just been a little nervous about where to begin, and I feel like I need a good grasp of the Bible, and certainly I'm no expert before leading something like this. Ooh, amazing. Okay, let's answer the first two at our after party. So the one about the annual membership for Kingdom Club and the difference between spiritual attack and God's will. We'll answer that after at the after party. And today for Everbee Answers, I will answer this last one. How would you start a Bible study group? I'm going to tell you right now, I have a whole podcast episode that I recorded this fall, I believe, about it. So go back into Spotify or Apple and look up. Let me just find it for you right now so that you don't have to do it. Okay, so I just looked it up and it is episode 70, Thinking About Leading a Bible Study? Here's what you need to know. It is 48 minutes long of me diving into all my advice and practical step-by-step process of how you can start and lead your Bible study. So it talks about how to get it started, and it talks about what you do during Bible study, and especially those first couple Bible studies, how to approach it to set a really good foundation and culture for your Bible study. So I'm going to link that in the show notes so you can go back and listen to that. But really quick overview, ask women that are already in your life, get a group of, it can literally just be like three of you, right? It can be 10 of you. It can be 12. I would say no more than 15. I usually don't like to go even over 12. But usually, like as adults, we can't always make it every single week. Sometimes there's someone's kid sick or whatever, you know what I mean? And so there won't always be like 12 women that show up, but I feel like 12 is a really good kind of threshold to cap it at. Cause when it gets too big, you go less deep and people are less willing to open up and share and be vulnerable. So I would say like from 3 to 12 women max. And I'm just going to speak into you feeling like you need to be an expert to lead Bible study. Absolutely not. Bible study isn't a lecture time necessarily. Like it doesn't have to be you teaching about the Bible. It just has to be a space where you guys can enter into community and prayer together through scripture. So you can be learning alongside all the other members of the Bible study. You can be learning alongside them. You don't have to be teaching them. You just have to be the one to take lead and host, honestly, like open your doors, bring people in, provide a snack or a drink. I always have tea available for girls or a little snack, and then just open the Bible together and be alongside each other and do Lectio Divina with any passage. Like I said, I go into a lot more detail in episode 70, where I talk all about all my strategies of how to lead a Bible study. So I really recommend you listen to that. But just want you to know, you don't have to be an expert in the Bible. I've been leading Bible studies for almost 10 years at this point, and I did not know anything about the Bible when I first started leading a Bible study. And I was, what, like 18? Oh my gosh. Was I 18? No. I was like 19. So yeah, 9 years ago. That's nuts. I didn't know anything about the Bible. And someone just has to lead. Someone just has to like take the first step to bring people in, because the reality is a lot of people don't know anything about the Bible. So hopefully no one's going to be judging you. And just make that clear from the beginning. Like, I don't want this to be like a teacher-student lecture type of Bible study. I want us all to come together and be alongside each other and learn together. And when you're just praying with Lexio, like if you're not diving into a study, when you're praying with Lexio, you're not teaching. You're just praying together. And then if you do want something that's a little bit more educational on scripture, there's so many resources to pull from that will teach you about scripture. Focus has incredible Bible studies. We can link their resources in the show notes as well. And they have leader guides that walk you through it. And then the St. Paul Center has a digital media library that I've been using with my Bible study, and it is incredible. It's videos and teaches you so much. So that way someone else can be the teacher and you can just be the facilitator. But yeah, go ahead and listen to the episode for more details, and then we'll dive into the rest of the questions at the after party for our Kingdom Club. And as always, if you want to be a part of the Kingdom Club and join our Patreon community, we'll make sure to link it in the show notes. It's awesome. You get to watch the podcast as well as listen to it. And then we have these weekly segments of Trey and I answering all your questions. So that's what the after party is all about. Hopefully we'll see y'all there and catch you next week. Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media, and give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at EverBePodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.